Welcome to a very special edition of the End Zone this week.
How is it special?
Well, you know, I was going to invoke a moment of silence for the black hole because I'm sorry, Kevin. I mean this in honest sincerity.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. No.
Does it sound like it when you start it that way?
I didn't mean this in honest sincerity. I have to clarify, being a Chiefs fan, the black hole will never be the same again. I'm sorry. If it's not an Oakland Alameda Coliseum, it's just not the same.
It'll be different.
Yeah. So the black hole as we know it, a moment of silence. And with that, Kevin, you had a big adventure this weekend when it came to NFL football, as you were there in Oakland for the final game of the Oakland Raiders, as we know them.
Yes, I was. It was a wonderful reunion of friends, or as people I call family, of part of Raider Nation. And I planned it accordingly. You know, when you go up there for a game, you want to plan it for the weekend and have a lot of fun up there. And there are some things that I planned that came to fruition, and some stuff that I didn't plan that was really cool. One of the things that was on my radar, first thing was to visit the Oakland Raiders headquarters there in Alameda. And it's right next to the airport. And for those of you that don't know, when you go up there and you go into the front doors, there is a gift shop immediately to the right. It's kind of like a mini Raider Image store. And everything was 20% off, which was nice. And grabbed some swag. As I was leaving, there was a bunch of people that were waiting near the entrance where the cars leave, come and go. And there was some players that were driving by and would stop and take quick selfies, you know, with fans outside their car doors. Some would come out too. So I saw fans waiting out there and didn't realize it. But as I was coming out, behind me was Rich Gannon.
Whoops.
And I went to take some pictures outside in the front, and he kept walking, and then everyone recognized who he was. And I just saw him from behind, so I wasn't sure who he was. And then I went up there, and I'm like, holy crap, that's Rich Gannon. So I went and shook his hand and got a picture with him, got a selfie with him. So that was really cool.
Quick question for you, because I really like Rich Gannon. Back in the day, I wish Kansas City had never let him go. It was a Marty Schottenheimer ego thing, and that's a whole other story. But I gotta ask you, Kevin, because when I think about this current run of the Raiders in Oakland, to me Rich Gannon is the best quarterback in that's you guys have had in this run.
It's interesting you say that, because a lot of people are still referring to Rich Gannon and the qualities that he had that some people wish the Carr had. People wish that that Carr would be a little more feisty with the coach, you know, Gruden, and kind of push back, because that happened a lot with Gannon and Gruden, but it worked well. They provided some winning seasons, and Rich Gannon was the MVP, and so he always holds a special place in Raider Nation.
Yeah, no, I just always felt like he was a great Raider quarterback. He kind of fit the mold, very feisty. He has the one thing that Derek Carr, I think we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. Rich Gannon was always great at improvising on the play.
He was, yeah. And that's something that fans would like to see a little bit more from Carr. And so, you know, Gannon was our last best quarterback. You know, he took him to the Super Bowl, you know. So, yeah. Yeah. I had a little itinerary written up for myself. I went and picked up my friend James Godley, who goes by the name of Destruction, Superfan Destruction. And he and I met in Atlanta, which actually was my first Raider game in Atlanta many years ago. And I met him and his wife Cindy, and we've been friends ever since. We've been to several games together. We were in London together, went to Stonehenge together. So he came out for the game, and I picked him up at the airport, and we wanted to, he needed to go to Walmart to get some supplies, and we ended up, now I was planning on going to Walmart the next day to meet Lester Hayes, known as the Judge, you know, famous cornerback for the Raiders. But it turned out that he was also signing that Friday night, and he was there, and I happened to have my Lester Hayes jersey with me. And I was planning on getting his autograph anyway, so we ended up doing it that night. We met him. And for those of you who are wondering, like, why is Lester Hayes at a Walmart? It sounds kind of weird. Well, Walmarts in Oakland are packed on game day weekends because of all of the tailgating supplies and the party supplies and all that stuff. So it's ideal for him to set up there. He had a long line of people. He had a bunch of stuff set up, and I'd never met him before, and it was really cool. I got his autograph, and I got a picture with him. So that was really, really cool. Saturday was a day that we were – my other friend, Joseph, he had come in too, and we've been to a bunch of games together. So we picked him up at his hotel, and we went to visit Al Davis's grave at the mausoleum they have there in Oakland. You know, where they have them like on the inside, you know, as opposed to outside. So we went there and visited Al Davis's grave, which is cool. And then we got some lunch and stuff. And we went back to my hotel, which is the Econo Lodge, because my friend Brian Rader Rowe, his girlfriend Kathy, and Nikki and a bunch of people there who are super fans who go to all the games, have season tickets and such. They worked with the Econo Lodge to hold a parking lot party. And so they did that all day Saturday. We spent a few hours there. That was a lot of fun. But the thing that I had organized was at Ricky's Bar and Grill in San Leandro, which is the Raiders bar. I think it was voted like the number two sports bar across the country, but it is the Raiders bar. And Mad Max Crosby, our rookie sensation this year, was there for an organized meet and greet and autograph session. And they had regular tickets, and they had like a VIP ticket. And I had regular tickets, which was just the autograph. But if you bought the VIP ticket, which is just like about $25 more, you got to actually have like a meal there and hang out in the room with Mad Max while he's there. But there was a little snafu that happened. We were able to upgrade our tickets to the VIP so we could stay in there. And so that's what we did. And we were like one of the first people in line for that. So we got in there, got our autographs, pictures, and it was really cool. Met him. And then we sat down, and then they let the rest of the people go through, but the signing was like from 4 to 6, and we're supposed to have our meal. But that place, Ricky's, was packed, and we were in a different room, but it was so crowded there. And apparently a bunch of servers called out sick.
Oh, geez.
So we never got fed. We never got our fed, and we even put an order in, and nothing, like an hour and a half later, nothing came. And so they ended up refunding us that difference. But we still got to meet Max Crosby and hang out. And what was funny was one, I don't know if you've seen him before, but there's a Raider super fan that's dressed like Deadpool.
Yeah, I've seen him.
You always see him in the black hole. Wade Raider, we're Facebook friends. We became Facebook friends before we met, but I finally met him, and I told him who I was. He's like, oh, you're the Raider nerd. Yeah, I know you are, blah, blah, blah. And I said, dude, man, I always love seeing you up there in the black hole, because he's like right next to Gorilla Rilla and all those guys. He brought a Mad Max car from the movie, Max Rockatansky's car, to get signed by Mad Max. I thought that was really cool.
That's very cool.
So we went and got some food later on, and then game day was all about the game. I took a shuttle to the stadium or dropped off near the stadium about like 8 o'clock in the morning. Met up with my friend James and Joseph and a couple of other super fans. Amanda Bustos, who's Black Widow. I finally met her. We've been Facebook friends for years, and we finally met up. And my intention was to get as many pictures as I could, meet up with as many people, and go to and walk around the whole stadium, outside the stadium, go to as many basically tailgate areas I could. And there was an area where Gorilla Rilla was hanging out. It's kind of called the Black Hole tailgate area. Bunch of other super fans were there. There were also CBS was there, like filming some things about the super fans. Actually, as we speak now, on ESPN E60, they're doing a special on the Black Hole and the super fans. And the previous night, they did a new special as well with several of the super fans and who already have tickets to see them in Las Vegas. You know, so I heard a rumor too that. Some of the super fans are working with the Raiders to actually have the black hole in Las Vegas. And so I heard this through because a lot of the people that purchased their PSLs to get the season tickets, emails went out to everyone. And apparently pre-sales have been really, really good. But they emailed a lot of these fans saying, you know, what would you like to see in a fan experience about tailgating and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of curious how that's going to reflect in what they do. But apparently, hopefully there will be a black hole section like you see. Yes, it won't be the same in Oakland, but a lot of these Oakland fans are traveling to Las Vegas, man. It's really cool. So anyway, I did a lot of the tailgating, met up with several of my friends, my friend Raider Pimp, Ben Newsom, who always has a great tailgate. That's where I actually ate. I made a point to walk around as much as I could and soak it in. And then once we got into the stadium, they started letting people in 11 o'clock. I had pretty good seats. I was in section 136, about seven rows up, which is right near, like the left side of one of the end zones. But I made it a point to walk all the way around the stadiums wherever I could go without, you know, a VIP pass, basically. I went all the way up to the top to get some pictures of the whole Oakland Stadium. And I took some pictures of myself, selfies. I had some people take some pictures of me. I took pictures of other people. And, you know, just kind of walked around. And I had picked up some stuff at the Raider Image store, picked up some programs, some pins, commemorating the last game and the 60 years of the Raiders. I guess we'll wait to talk about the game itself later when we do the recap of the games. But I made it a point to really soak in the atmosphere. And for the first time since Whitney Houston sang the Star-Spangled Banner, there's a talented young singer that she did the national anthem, and then right at the end there we got the flyover with the Jets, and I was tearing up.
Okay, so what I want to ask you is after the game, because there's been conflicting stories. I mean, we've seen pictures of some people that did jump out of the stands, mm-hmm. and into the stadium. Things mm-hmm. got a little bit rowdy. People were throwing trash on the field. I know there was one point during the game where they had to stop it because people kept doing laser pointers on the field.
Yeah, that happened once. I couldn't tell what it was, but the ref stopped game and made an announcement saying, "Please do not use the laser pointers." I don't know how long that had been going on. But yeah, there was that part. At the end of the game, there was a few fans that jumped. I only saw two fans that jumped. There was a drunk guy behind me that was trying to convince me and a bunch of other people, saying, "They can't stop us all, man. We're going to jump the thing at the end of the game." And meanwhile, I'm looking at like four or five well-armed police officers with billy clubs the size of about 3 feet long.
Oh, come on. You had that Mandalorian armor.
In their hands, just itching to use it. And I'm like, "Nah, dude, I'm good. I'm going to be right here."
But come on.
Now, at the end of the game, because of what happened, Raider fans, obviously, a lot of Raider fans were not happy. And so there was a lot of booing, not just for Derek Carr, but for the way that the Raiders played. And yeah, there was people that were throwing some drinks onto the field after the game and stuff like that. I think right before the end of the game, when obviously it looked like there was no chance to pull that one out. But you know, when it comes to like what I saw in the media, it was totally. It's always like this, Kyle. When it comes to the Raiders, it's totally exaggerated.
Well, it was funny because one of the articles I read talked about a guy who did jump on the field, but the joke was, and he was like, he was telling the officer who had put the handcuffs on him, and the officer was like, "Man, I just got to do this." He's like, "Yeah, no, man, I understand. It's just, when am I ever going to get the chance to jump the field again?" And the officer was like, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about." So I think a lot of those people.
Yeah, I mean, there was one guy that they really wrestled hard to the ground. There was one guy that gave up, you know. We stayed there until they started pushing us out. And I'll talk about the gameplay itself when we get to it. But if I had one negative thing to say that actually kind of pissed me off, that was not related to the game, which I'll go into later, was that the crew there that was working in the Oakland Stadium could not wait to start tearing down the Raider banners along the side of the wall. They stood that the vinyl banners, and also the banners that they put over dugouts, mm-hmm. you know, for the A's that had like Oakland and Raiders on mm-hmm. them. They couldn't wait to take those off. They were pulling them out right away. They could not wait for us to leave, you know. But we hung around for like another half an hour or so until the ushers started, asking us to leave and stuff like that, because we were soaking it in, you know. And you know, we were making friends with the security guards around us, and there was one guy that was really cool. He grabbed a handful of soil and gave it to one of the fans, you know, and they were taking pictures of it and stuff like that. And you know, but they had security all over the place, and it was like, you know, yeah, you're not getting over that thing.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, it was the whole thing was totally overblown, as it always is with Raiders. I mean, you're gonna get a few drunk idiots that tried it and they got caught, you know. And I'll give it to Carr for he and I think a couple other players went straight over to the black hole.
Yeah, there was a player I'm not sure it was, but I know his last name was Drake, and he was like the first player that went over to the black hole.
Yeah, and there was another player that gave a game jersey to one of my fellow friends, super fans. I can't remember who it was. I forget. But Carr went over there. But as he was going over there, he was getting booed.
Oh, yeah. That was very obvious, even on the television broadcast. Could hear him as he was going over there, the boos getting louder.
Yeah, because the Raider fans were frustrated because of the gameplay, and we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Well, obviously, this is the end zone, not the black hole show. But, I mean, you know, this is the end zone. This is our week 15 wrap up, week 16 preview here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And, of course, you can find not only the end zone, but all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, starting at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. You can also use the Podbean app and just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. You can also find us on iTunes/Apple Podcasts, also on Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play for you Android device users, Spotify, and also now we are a member of the iHeartRadio family, Kevin.
That's really cool. That should give us some exposure, and it's fun to say iHeartRadio.
Yes. And of course, you can visit our Facebook page. Just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. If you want to email us, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network. On Twitter, at FanPod Network. Of course, you can find me, Kyle, on Twitter, at AKyleW, or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on the social media?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, too, there's a couple different ways you can support the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, we'd love it when you visit our TeePublic store. You can buy some gear with all the logos of the Fandom Podcast Network, whether it's t-shirts, hoodies, blankets, bit of everything. It's a hodgepodge at TeePublic. Again, teepublic.com. Search for the Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, we love reviews, and we'd love to know how we're doing. We love you, especially when you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Of course, we love those 5-star reviews. But you know what? We'll take all the input we can, because we want to make the best podcast possible to feed your ears. Now, Kevin, this was week 15, so we only got 2 weeks to go. But this is about the time when things start getting a little weird in the NFL when it comes to those games and the scores and the outcomes. And I think week 15 was a great example of that.
Well, what's weird is I was sitting, you know, I wasn't paying attention to the early morning games because I was at the Oakland Coliseum tailgating and stuff. But when we got into the stadium, they were showing some highlights and scores, but I had like no cell service inside that, Oakland Alameda Stadium, and it's an old stadium. So it's not one of the new ones, the fancy new ones that provide Wi-Fi. So I had trouble staying up to date of all the weird stuff. So I'm gonna have to rely on you on this, Kyle.
Okay. Well, I know you were around Thursday night though, as Lamar Joystick Jackson, and we're calling him Joystick cause he's treating the NFL like it's a video game.
Yeah.
broke the single season QB rushing record with right now he currently stands at 1,103 rushing yards as the Ravens just manhandled the Jets.
Yeah.
Moving on to Sunday, the Panthers stayed feisty, but just couldn't match the Seahawks. Seahawks win 30-24, which clinches a playoff berth for Seattle Seahawks. Another team clinching the playoff berth, the Patriots, with a little help from their friends, beat the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get to that in a minute. The Buccaneers climbed back to 500, at 7-7. Jameis Winston threw his 30th TD pass of the season, a single season Tampa Bay record.
Yeah, that was the what people were talking about in the stands there at Oakland, because there were a lot of people that had that were watching their fantasy stuff going on, and they're like, dude threw for over 400 yards and four touchdowns.
He became the first player in NFL history to throw back-to-back 450-yard games.
That's crazy.
You know, he's still probably going to end up with 50 interceptions too, but that's a whole other story. in a very frigid Green Bay, I think kickoff, the game temperature was 9. The Packers beat the Bears 21-13.
It's called the frozen tundra for a reason.
Packers also clinched a playoff berth. In the Snow Bowl, our first true Snow Bowl game of the season, Kevin. The Chiefs manhandled the Broncos 23-3. Even in the snow, Patrick Mahomes threw for 340 yards. Kansas City won its 10th plus game for the 5th consecutive season.
That's cool. So good for you guys.
Liking that. Eli Manning got his record back to 500. I think it's like 117-117 as the Giants beat the Dolphins in the battle for the second overall pick.
Now they both have the same record at 3-11.
Yes, so it's getting interesting. Sunday night, the flexed game. The Bills held on and beat the Steelers. The Bills clinch a playoff berth.
I'm happy for the Bills. My buddy Bob, who I've known for a very long time now, is a diehard Bills fan and has been for many years, including all those years they made it to the Super Bowl and lost. I'm really happy for him and the Bills, and specifically the Bills fans. This is really cool.
And what might have been the biggest game of the day as far as importance, the Texans beat the Titans 24-21 to take a big game and a lead in the NFC or AFC South division, as the Texans have also won 8 of 11 games versus the Titans in the Bill O'Brien era.
Yeah.
So the Eagles, with a big game, beat the Redskins 37-27. This game went down to the wire, but had some interesting results at the end. Arizona. You know what? I'm loving the start of the Kyler Murray era. It's just fun, but Kenyon Drake also...
But hold on. Is it the Kyler Murray era, or is it now the Kenyon Drake era?
No. Kyler Murray had a very good game, too, so...
How... Dude, he had 4 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, Kenyon, but a bunch of them... Drake. They were like a bunch of one-yard touchdowns. Come on, now.
Still, someone had to hold the ball and run it in against a bunch of grown men. Yeah.
And yet, we're going to talk more about the Browns in the news segment. We'll come back to the Raider game, because I know you really have some thoughts on that game, and I actually have a few thoughts on that game. The Cowboys manhandled the Rams in a shocking fashion, beating them 44-21. However, he had Cooper Kupp. He had a nice fantasy game for you for the Rams with a lot of late touchdowns. Yeah. In the craziest game of the day, the Falcons beat the 49ers 29-22 on a last-second touchdown by Julio Jones. And the kicker is in this. They got the touchdown. There's like 3 seconds left. They had the kickoff, and the Falcons recovered the kickoff in the end zone to get a touchdown.
I like I said, my radar on what's been happening this weekend has been a little preoccupied with my Raiders weekend, and I didn't know the 49ers lost. I missed this.
Yeah, no, this was big. Phillip Rivers is trying to catch Jameis Winston. The Chargers gave away the football 7 times as the Vikings beat the Chargers 39-10.
Can't win a game doing that.
Nope. Hey, you know, I think this Drew Brees kid might be pretty good, Kevin.
I hear he is, too. I'd pick him up.
Yeah, Monday night, he went 29 for 30.
Jeez.
Highest percentage ever completion-wise in NFL history in a game. He also broke...
541 career passing...
touchdowns. He broke Peyton Manning's record.
Yeah. So I'm glad. Good for him, man.
Yep. Okay, so let's get back to the Raiders, who unfortunately came out looking really sharp in the first half, but fell apart in the second half, and unfortunately ended the year era of the Oakland Coliseum with a loss. Kevin, I watched a lot of this game. It was actually, because it was Jacksonville, it was the national game in the afternoon here in Florida. So it was on the regular TV. So I watched a lot of this game because I was looking for you on the TV, figuring, you know, okay. Okay,
one of my friends, Dave Fielding in the UK, was watching whatever coverage he had, and he actually spotted me, took a screenshot of it, and sent it to me.
But, you know, the Raiders came out, they actually looked really good in the first half, but
that sounds familiar.
But it's been the story of the last 5 or 6 games. You guys just collapse in the second half, and this one was incredibly frustrating, because not only did you have a point where you could have taken a field goal that would have probably made this game little bit more interesting and maybe probably sealed the win for you. But you also, yeah, I even admit it, you guys got hosed by a horrible call by the referees in the second half of this game.
Let me address the first part you said. Yeah, this has been the Achilles, what do you call it?
The Achilles heel?
Yeah, for the Raiders. You know how you want to lose a game, Kyle? Don't score any points in the second half.
Yeah, they haven't what
and scored. That has,
what did they had a stat during the game broadcast, Kevin, of the Raiders have been outscored 41-0 in the last four games in the third quarter.
Yeah, well, if you compare that to the whole season, it's just been horrible. And it's almost like they have to score all their points in the first half and then let the defense do what they do, because the offense is just inept, and it's really sad. But, you know, the Jaguars were inept too for a while. Going into the second half, the Raiders were up 16-3. And, you know, we were starting to kind of feel like, well, you know, if they can at least score another touchdown or something, and, you know, we missed some field goals. But it's just, I don't know what it is. There were some drop passes too that was frustrating. Now, it's interesting because at the game, it's really fun to be at a game. But when you're there, you miss a lot of the stuff that's going on because you're not being fed it to you while you're watching television from the announcers and stuff like that. So there's a lot of little things that I missed when it came to certain, like, what was that penalty, or what was this and what was that? I had great seats, which was nice, where we were sitting. But the play that you spoke of was demoralizing. And the Raiders were trying to run out the clock. And Derek Carr scrambled for a first down and slid inbounds, surrendering himself so he could still keep the clock running. For whatever reason. Now, let me just say something. Where that play happened, I had the best seat for it because it happened right in front of my section. And I was about six rows up from the front. I had a great view of that. We all saw what he was doing. There was an umpire referee right there. And for some reason or another, they stopped the clock. And then Derek Carr was livid and explaining I was inbounds. It was obvious, and I think he got like a delay of game penalty, which hurt them even more,
yeah.
You know, for that, because he was trying to make his cause. And we were trying to figure out what the penalty was. All of a sudden, they started going back. I thought it might have been like unsportsmanlike conduct or something, but I couldn't figure it out. What was it on your end?
It was a delay of game penalty, because this was the weird thing, because I think Carr thought in his mind the clock was still running, and he thought he had a full 45-second clock. But because he went out of bounds, it was a 25-second clock.
But he didn't go out of bounds.
Well, but what they're saying is they ruled him out of bounds. So it was a 25-second clock. So he got delay of game. Nobody on the Raiders sideline caught this till the very end. And then I know Gruden went to challenge it, and it's a non-challengeable call. And
yeah, seeing this happen and how it unfolded, if it was marked how it should have been, a whole bunch of time would have been marked off, and the Raiders should have been able to win that game, even though their offense was fledgling and they couldn't score any more points. But it wouldn't have given the Jacksonville enough time to go ahead in that game. It was really frustrating, and it's one of those things where, like, a lot of fans hear, oh, the Raiders are complaining about not getting their calls. There's a reason why. We get these all the time, and it sucks that we have to fight against – the team has to fight against two teams each game. Got to fight the team they're playing. We got to fight the refs. And there was a ref right there, and I don't know how he could have messed it up. Charles Woodson went on social media afterwards, and I want to talk about him in a minute, showing the picture, showing how obvious it was, and they actually – apologized to the Raiders.
The announcers were calling it out
for messing that call up, but it's too little, too late. You know, it's one of those silly little things. Like if we're gonna, you know, John Gruden said it best afterwards. Says if you know he's not a fan of instant replay, but if we're gonna have it, let's use it and use it correctly.
Yeah.
And the refs totally screwed that, and that was a demoralizing play. And and left a bunch of extra time on the clock for the Jags to come back and win that game.
Yeah, and then of course missing the two field goal attempts after that was just crushing. I will say this, and this is the officiating for the last 2 years has been atrocious. I mean, I think the only team who might have a bigger beef than you guys would be the Saints at this point. Yeah. Because the Saints have had some games where they've just been flat out robbed completely, yep, and obviously. But I'm going to say this, and I too, the way this game played out, it felt like it was the summation of everything that's happened in Oakland for maybe like the last 10 years. And just with the frustrations of the Raiders, you know, you look really good, then there's this drop off, something happens, something. It just like, it felt like the epitome of what a Raiders game has been the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, you know, we were teased with playoff potential earlier in the season. We were 6-4, and now we've lost four games in a row. It's frustrating, and you know, I'm still trying to be patient with this new regime. We're still building for the future. I wasn't expecting them to make the playoffs this year. It just sucks that we were kind of teased, you know. And it sucks that there's just something that keeps happening. It's the same damn thing, and it's the inept offense in the second half, you know, that's really killing us. If we had some offense that just seemed to work, you know, we would be in a much better place right now.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the news, I also know you wanted to talk about Charles Woodson real quick, Kevin.
Yeah, he had the honor of lighting the torch, Al Davis's torch. It's always given to someone or people. But the cool thing was is during halftime, which they didn't show from what I've been told in the broadcast, was he came out to personally thank the fans, and he was flanked by all of these Oakland Raider and LA Raider legends and several Hall of Famers, and they all came out together in unison, and it was a really moving speech, and it was just great to see all those people. Even saw Tom Flores there, who I got my autograph with my jersey, and then Lester Hayes and all these people that were there. And it was really, really cool. And I like the fact that he has embraced Oakland. Even though he didn't win his Super Bowl with Oakland, he still has come back, and he's been welcomed with open arms with the Raider Nation.
Yep. Well, let's talk some news, Kevin. And, you know, be thankful you were doing tailgating Sunday morning, because all morning on the upteen million different pregame shows that Fox has, all we heard about was Jay Glazer's gotten a huge breaking story at the start of Fox NFL Sunday. And it was like that for hours on end. And then,
meaning that were they just teasing it or not talking about it?
They were teasing it and not talking about it. And there was a reason for that, because much like the first Spygate, Jay Glazer was the first person to actually get a copy of the video that was filmed at the Bengals game by this New England camera crew who was supposedly filming a like job type show following an advanced scout. No, they weren't, because they have blatant recording of sideline substitutions and the sidelines
for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes. Cincinnati. It's great listening to the audio too, because they are clearly busted and the Cincinnati security is just all over them. Kevin, I'm going to say this, whether this go, the NFL, of my understanding, the NFL hasn't come down with punishment yet because they're trying to find out just how close to the top this goes.
Belichick has denied everything that, you know, all the coaching staff and players were not involved in this.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. This is the second time they've been busted for something like this. I don't care who's responsible. It's somewhere in the organization. The NFL just needs to not play around, and they need to bring their hammer down hard on the Patriots.
I'm sorry, Patriots fans, but your championships are tainted, you know. And unfortunately, it sends a message, too, and that message is cheating works. Whether you talk to the Astros that won their championship from stealing signs, they still got to keep their championships. Patriots got to keep their championships. You know, since we just don't know, I might give maybe one of your championships to your kicker, But this is another reason why I don't respect the Patriots, you know, because other successful teams like the Steelers over the years, you don't hear anything about them cheating, you know. That's why I respect them. Don't like them because they beat the snot out of the Raiders in the 70s, but, you know, they're not caught cheating, you know.
Yeah.
No. What do you think? What's your thought on that?
I think as far as their Super Bowls go, you know, it's still the players on the field and they have to execute. So I'm not going to necessarily punish the players on the field. But, yeah, you've got to wonder about what's been going on behind the scenes in New England for a while now.
You got to look at the coaching. You got to look at the coaches. Yeah, the players got to play, but the coaches get information from stuff.
Oh yeah, you know? No, I mean, I think there's a couple of championships that are legit, but there's a couple of championships I think are in question. But you're never going to see a team stripped into professional sport. It happens in college all the time. Teams get stripped of things, but not in professional sports. But either way,
this encourages more cheating because, you know, what did the Patriots get slapped last time? Oh. Was it like
No, they lost a first round draft pick, and the team
wasn't it like $500,000?
No. The team itself had to pay something like several million dollars. Bill Belichick personally had to pay a $500,000 fine.
Okay, so whatever, that's a drop in the bucket for them.
Yeah, to really
hurt them, you got to hit them in the draft picks and stuff like that. Or to strip some championship away, but that's not going to happen. You know, it's really frustrating. I mean, to me, several of those championships have asterisks next to them.
Well, to me, at this point with all the Patriots have been, and to me, the appropriate punishment is just strip all the draft picks this year. Say, sorry, you don't have a draft this year.
Yeah.
So that's my feeling on that. Another interesting situation, Kevin. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to follow this or not. Janoris Jenkins, former cornerback of the New York Giants. He was cut.
Well, did you say cornerback or quarterback?
Cornerback.
Cornerback, gotcha.
He's an all-pro cornerback. Was a big free agent signing for the Giants a couple years ago. He was cut right before the weekend because of something an altercation he had with a fan in the game Monday night, where he apparently called a fan, and it was picked up on the microphone, a retard.
Mm-hmm.
And he really didn't apologize for it, saying it's a minute of slang and, you know, and it ended up being cut by the Giants, but he was picked up on waivers by the New Orleans Saints, who could definitely use an infusion on their defense.
Only NFL. You get in trouble for, chastising a fan and then you get cut and then you get picked up by a playoff clinching team.
Okay. I want to ask you this, Kevin, and I'm curious because no player should ever chastise a fan unless the fan is really on them, but really players should not have those kind of interactions with fans. It always leads to bad things. He called the fan retarded. Now, when you and I were kids, we would use that word, you know,
it's become very, very un-PC as of the late.
And
so
I'm just wondering, he probably should have said, I shouldn't have used that word to the fan, but was there a bit of an overreaction here too?
Possibly because, you know, fans can be really, really bad, you know? But you know, when it comes down to it, you're a professional and you need to act like a professional. You know, I've seen Raider players act unprofessional, but I've seen a lot of players that let it get to them. You know, I mean, look at that whole fiasco that happened with that one basketball player that jumped into the stands, you know, several years ago. And you got to be careful what you say too. You know, I mean, that's you could put that up to with a racial slur. You know, there's certain words that you just can't say anymore. You know, and retarded is one of those.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of players ending up in new places, the Arizona Cardinals did a solid move to Terrell Suggs and released him at his request because they weren't really using him. He knows his career's at the end. They wanted to give him a chance maybe to catch on with somebody. Terrell Suggs said, nobody pick me up because I'm planning on going to Baltimore and playing out the year with Baltimore and retiring. Well, only problem with that is Baltimore's the last team on the waiver wire pickup. And I don't think the other playoff teams were going to allow Terrell Suggs just to go to the back to the Ravens. And sure enough, my Kansas City Chiefs have picked up Terrell Suggs off of the waiver wire. This after they found out defensive end Alex Okafor is going to be gone for the rest of the season with a pectoral tear. When this first happened, a lot of people weren't sure what Suggs was going to do, but it's being reported by Adam Schefter as well as a couple other insiders on NFL.com that Terrell Suggs will indeed report to the Kansas City Chiefs and finish off this season with Kansas City.
Do you think this has more or less to do with the injury on your team, Kyle, than more of like, we don't want this guy having to play against this guy in his former, you know, team?
Here's what I'm going to say. Because I think if Okafor didn't have the injury, they would have put the claim in on Janoris Jenkins. Because I think they really do need more help in the secondary. But losing Okafor has really, really thinned out their defensive line, especially on edge rushers.
But that doesn't matter. I mean, but picking up Suggs, I mean, is he really that good to where you think he'll make a difference?
He has 6 sacks on the season. So, yeah. You know, if nothing else, put him in and as an extra pass rusher in the playoffs.
Well, you know, at least still, he went from a worse situation to a better situation. So there you go.
Yep. Now, Kevin, too, it is the holiday season, and you know what happened. You know what for a lot of people, what that means. It means tradition, Kevin.
It does. It's always holiday stuff is always all about tradition.
And it is the time of year for tradition and values. And for Josh Gordon to get suspended once again.
How many times is this now?
It's got to be like his 6th or 7th. I mean,
I like to officially say I'm done with feeling sorry for him and hoping that he'll turn his life around. Josh Gordon, goodbye.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
Yeah, he needs to be done. This is ridiculous. I was a Josh Gordon fan. I thought he was a heck of a player, especially when he had that.
I don't care how good you are, dude. Yeah. If you don't have it right in the head and you got to drug yourself up, get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it's just bad. Good riddance, Josh Gordon, at this point. Go get the help you need. Stay out of the NFL. We don't need you there. Speaking of places people apparently don't want to be, Kevin. Apparently nobody wants to be in Cleveland because it has been reported that several Browns players were yelling to this coaching staff on the sideline, to the Arizona Cardinals coaching staff, please get us out of here. Bring us here during the game. Apparently one of those players was wide receiver Jarvis Landry, who also got into a massive screaming match with head coach Freddie Kitchens.
I don't think Kitchens is going to be there.
Okay, this is my feeling on this. If I'm the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Freddie Kitchens is fired right now, and I go hire Ron Rivera. Because if nothing else, the Cleveland Browns desperately need a culture change, and I can't think of anybody better to bring the proper culture change to the Cleveland Browns than Ron Rivera.
Good suggestion. I can't argue that.
So, in kind of a depressing thing, last week Tampa Bay lost all-pro wide receiver Mike Evans for the season to a hamstring injury. This week, they lost probable all-pro wide receiver Chris Godwin for the rest of the season to a hamstring injury. And yet, Jameis Winston still threw for 4 touchdowns and 450 yards.
Did O.J. Howard catch any of those touchdowns?
Does the name Breshad Perriman mean anything to you? Former number...
Answer my question. Did O.J. Howard catch any of those?
He did not.
He has been one of the biggest tight end busts this entire year, and it's infuriating. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
Move along, Tampa Bay. I don't care.
Yeah. Kevin, I'm a little sad. The Kyle Allen era might be over in Carolina. I might be out on the street. Carolina's done. They're out of the playoffs. They drafted former Florida Gator and West Virginia Mountaineer quarterback Will Greer this past season. I think they want to see what they got because it looks like Kyle Allen's going to get benched because he's been throwing a lot of interceptions lately, and they want to see what they have. So Will...
Whoa. What about that Cam Newton guy?
He's on injured reserve. He's done for the year. He had foot surgery.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So is he going to be back too? Is he out too? What's going on?
He's out. He's out for the season. He won't be. He's not
no,
even.
No. I mean for next year. What do you think?
Who knows with Carolina and we don't even know who the coach is going to be next year. So Will Greer is going to get the start probably for the rest of the season.
So wait. Hold on. Why is Kyle Allen era done?
Because he has been throwing interceptions left and right for the last month.
Ah, He's okay.
Yeah,
playing well.
Huh? Yeah, no. And that's too bad. Carolina's not playing well, so they need to see what they got of this young kid. But speaking of coaching changes, one coach who's been talked about as being on one of the hot seats will be back for 2020, and that is the Lions have announced that they are retaining head coach Matt Patricia for one more season. Mm-hmm. But they do expect changes.
Yeah, yep.
So I'm going to say Matt Patricia, A number one on the hot seat next year. Also, too, I want to give a quick shout out to the Atlanta Falcons, who are playing some very hard football for their head coach, Dan Quinn, who is still very much on the hot seat and probably will not be back as the coach next year. But I got to give it to the Falcons players for not quitting on their head coach.
This is true, but it's too little too late.
Yeah. So, well, let's take a look ahead, Kevin. We got week 16 and things are a little different in week 16 as we have no Thursday night football this week, but we have three games on Saturday. So we've got the triple header on Saturday. So let's start with those games. At 1 o'clock, Houston comes to Tampa Bay. I think if Tampa Bay had two healthy wide receivers, this would actually be a fairly intriguing game. A lot of points could be scored in this game.
Yeah.
Actually, a huge game, because should the Buffalo Bills knock off the New England Patriots, they will be tied for the division lead with the New England Patriots. Plus, that would also boost Kansas City should they beat Chicago this week into the number two seed and give them a bye week in the AFC playoffs.
And this is at New England.
This is at New England. New England beat Buffalo 17-10 in Buffalo earlier this season, but that was a little different Buffalo Bill team than the one that's playing right now. They have improved greatly. So that is a very good game. Another game that I think still is a pretty interesting game with a lot on the line is the Rams at San Francisco on Saturday night at 8:15, Kevin.
Rams, their chances are dwindling.
They're about slim to none at this point, but San Francisco still has a lot to play for.
Yeah.
So that wraps up the three games on Saturday. Let's take a look at Sunday's games, Kevin. Let's look at the 1 o'clock games first. We've got Jacksonville at Atlanta. Does anybody care? What might be the game of the week?
What order are you looking at here? Which game? What are you looking at? You're going out of order here.
I'm looking at the odds, because if you look at the times, they've got the list all over the place this week.
Yeah. Okay.
Another 1 o'clock game. We've got, which might be the game of the week. We've got New Orleans at Tennessee. Big game for both of these teams, as they're both, Tennessee's trying to keep their playoff hopes alive, and New Orleans is still trying to get playoff seeding and possibly get a bye in the playoffs.
Okay, but they still have playoff appearance, though.
New Orleans is in. Tennessee's still playing to try to get in.
Okay.
The New York Giants at Washington. Okay. Does anybody care?
Nope.
Pittsburgh at the New York Jets. This is a big game for Pittsburgh after kind of laying an egg against Buffalo this past week.
For playoff aspirations.
Yeah, for playoff aspirations, yes.
They still have a chance, yeah.
Cincinnati at Miami.
Move along.
Yeah, move along. Nothing here to see. Carolina at Indianapolis. Move along. Nothing here to see. Baltimore at Cleveland. If Baltimore wins, they clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that Cleveland is the anomaly on Baltimore's schedule this year. They blew out Baltimore earlier in the season by like 20. You think Lamar Jackson might be looking for a little revenge and could run up the score?
This is at Cleveland, too.
Yeah, and Cleveland is a disaster fire at this point. So,
yeah.
4 o'clock games. We've got Detroit at Denver. Anybody? Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Your Oakland Raiders visit their other home at the LA Chargers. So technically, it's not the last week wasn't the last home game for the Raiders.
Yeah, I was planning on possibly trying to make this game because it's actually closer to me. But you can't wear your costume stuff in there, and they're the people that run that. That whole, was it soccer stadium or a bunch of jerks? And
they won't be there next year. So
yeah.
Then we've also got Philadelphia at Dallas for first place in the NFC least, Kevin.
What'd you say?
The NFC least.
Yes. Okay. There you go.
This is actually a huge game. I mean, this is
For Seattle?
No, for Philly at Dallas or at Buffalo.
Oh,
or at
Philly. I'm sorry.
Dallas at Philly.
Yeah. Dallas can clinch the division if they win this, right?
No, not necessarily. If Dallas wins, they have the lead. But if they finish tied at the end of the season, I think Philly has the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Because of how things would fall with like division schedules and stuff like that. We also have Arizona at Seattle. This is actually still a big game for Seattle as they're trying to hold on to home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the NFC.
Yeah.
So Sunday night, Kansas City at Chicago. Big game. For
how many primetime games has your team had this year?
Less than last year.
Oh, Jesus, man.
When you have Patrick Mahomes, you get on TV. Wait till next year. Apparently. Wait till next year when we have like 10 Lamar Jackson games.
Yeah.
Kansas City at Chicago, big game for Kansas City as far as seeding in the AFC playoffs. And then Monday night, a very big game. Green Bay at Minnesota. Can we switch out announcers for this game, Kevin? Because it is a big, important game.
Yeah. But isn't this like the most important game that ESPN has had all year?
Just about. They have had a couple other ones, but yeah, that's pretty much.
All right, so let's look at the playoff picture here.
Okay, yep, I've got it in front of me. If you look at the AFC, Kevin, we've got the Ravens. These are teams that are clinched and in the playoffs. You have the Ravens, the Chiefs, you have the Patriots, and you have, as the site is being slow on me, the Buffalo Bills have all clinched playoff berths. So,
yeah.
Right now,
Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo. We're looking at the AFC right now. Yeah. New England. And Baltimore can clinch a first-round bye if Baltimore wins or ties, mm-hmm. KC loss or tie, or New England loses. Yep.
New England clinches the AFC East with a win or a tie. New England clinches a first-round bye with a win and a KC loss or tie, or a New England tie and a KC loss. If Houston beats Tampa Bay, they clinch the AFC South, or they also clinch it with a Tennessee loss. Houston clinches a playoff berth with a Houston tie or a Pittsburgh tie or a Pittsburgh loss. I hate this time of year. It gets all confusing.
Yeah, like especially all these ties that you're hoping, not going to happen.
Okay, so let's talk about the four teams that have clinched in the AFC, Kevin, because you know what? They all have the same record, 11-4.
Yeah, and two of them are in the same division.
You have this... You have right now the Seattle Seahawks in the number one seed, followed by the Green Bay Packers, the New Orleans Saints, followed by the Green Bay Packers. And then
New Orleans have clinched the NFC South division.
And the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
Now Green Bay clinches the NFC North if they win. You have Dallas at Philadelphia. If Dallas clinches the NFC East, if they do win. And then Minnesota clinches a playoff berth with a Minnesota win. Or a Los Angeles Rams loss.
Loss or tie.
Yeah. So I think
I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm confused. I think outside of that final playoff berth in the AFC, which is coming down between Tennessee and Pittsburgh, I think the teams in the NFC are pretty much set. It's just the order that they're going to be in.
Right.
So well, that kind of sums up the playoff standings and how things go. But speaking of playoffs, it's fantasy playoff time, which we're going to get into in just a few minutes. But first, we're going to take a quick little break and let you know what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, a weekly pop culture podcast. For you movie fans, we have Couch Potato Theater, where we celebrate our favorite cult classic and guilty pleasure movies. We also have Time Warp. That's our fandom flashback show, where we like to look back on our favorite fandoms. For you NFL fans, we have the End Zone podcast. And of course, for you Alfred Hitchcock fans, please check out Good Evening. For you Star Trek and Orville fans, we also have the Union Federation podcast. And for you hard rock metal fans, we have Hair Metal, the 1980s rock metal podcast. Doctor Who fans, we've got one for you as well. We have Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. If you're a fan of 1980s action films, please check out Lethal Mullet. And our newest show, we have a Star Wars podcast called What a Piece of Junk. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet can also be found on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network can also be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Please search on Facebook for Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com.
We are also on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, we hope you're enjoying everything we are putting out here at the FP Net. Hopefully we're feeding your ears with some wonderful podcasts. But Kevin, I only have one thing to say. Playoffs! Playoffs!
I thought you were going to say victory!
Well, we're going to get to that because we really didn't hype it last week because we were so focused on what was going on in the actual NFL and the fact that you were getting ready to head out to Oakland. But yes, in the
we talked about it, we covered it.
Yeah, but not really. We didn't get in depth on it. We didn't mention that we were playing each other in the ESPN.
Oh, this is true. Yeah, we did not mention that.
So in the ESPN Trophy League, it was the Raider Nerd versus the Rogue Squadron, which is me, and I am the defending champ in this league. And let's just say, the chance of a repeat is still alive in the ESPN Trophy League.
Yes. And who did you beat?
That would be one Raider nerd, Kevin Reitzel.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Congratulations, man.
It was a competitive game too. I think I won by 14?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when I was looking at it, the game swung on a couple of things. One was defense. Seattle was actually having a good game until that fourth quarter when they decided, oh, we're going to let Carolina back in the game.
Yeah.
And
I had Seattle as my defense on one of my teams.
Yeah, and Travis Kelce, who just happens to be my Jimmy GQ man crush of the week, as he had 141 receiving yards in the Snow Bowl in Kansas City this week.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what the real upset was in the ESPN League, Kevin. The Stomper has been eliminated.
Both her and me.
The Stomper hit the fantasy buzzsaw that has been Jameis Winston. As Jameis Winston,
that's which one is that one? Oh yeah, that's Charlie's Nuts, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Jameis Winston scored 86 points, Kevin.
It's crazy, dude.
I mean, I thought Jen was the hands down favorite to win the league this year. Her team was just loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but no, I am in the championship, looking to go back to back in the trophy league.
This is true, man. I wish you luck. For me personally, I have six fantasy teams, and five of my teams went to the playoffs. And only one survived, and that is the ESPN regular league that I am in right now. And I advance. I beat the juices loose. Let's see what happens here. You're not doing too well in that one.
No, I didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. My buddy Bob has made it in here, so yeah, it's gonna get interesting. But it's not the trophy league. So yeah. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. Yes. You are the reigning champion. Let's see if you can keep it.
So Kevin, I want to ask real quick when it comes to fantasy football this year, are you ready yet to name your fantasy player of the year, or do you want to wait till after the championship week? Because I think it's a pretty clear cut winner this year.
I'm gonna wait because I'm still, even though I'm still playing guys and stuff, but I didn't even look at a man crush award this week.
Well, I'm not even talking man. I'm talking man crush award for the season.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I got a question for you though. Are we awarding it to someone that's not necessarily on our teams? One that has done well all year for whoever.
Yeah. The person who I have in mind is on my team, but I would give it to him even if he wasn't on my team.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I would say look at waiver wire pickups, but yeah.
No.
But actually,
No.
I'm going to put this out there now because by the time this show comes out, it will have already been decided. With me and the Trophy League playing the person who has Jameis Winston, and now with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans out for the rest of the season, I have put in a waiver claim on Bashard Perryman, who had 3 touchdowns because he was a free agent in our league. Whether I'm able to grab him or not to see if the person I'm playing is paying attention. But that could be at least a nice Jameis equalizer in that aspect if he's throwing to him a lot.
Now, I know that our friend Jennifer Walk got eliminated in the trophy league like I did, but she has still been the bane of my existence this year, Kyle, because she and I went up against each other in one of our Yahoo leagues, and she beat me. Congratulations, Jennifer, and I curse you. She is a worthy opponent. I will give her that. Well done.
Should we call her Dominatrix Jennifer Walk? Because she just dominates everything.
That might work. Yeah, she might dig that.
Yeah, I'll wait. I'll wait for the message on Facebook on that one. Well, with that, Kevin, we're down to 2 weeks left of the season, and then it's playoff time. Anything you're excited about in these last 2 weeks?
No.
Wait. No. Wait. I do have one very important question for you, Kevin. Will you be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs this week? You have a very specific reason to do so.
Yeah, you're playing against the Bears, and we want the Bears to lose as many to lower their draft pick. So, it goes against all of what I've been ingrained, to do. So no, I'm not going to be rooting for the Chiefs. Sorry.
Murph and Mosh, I want your input on this.
They will tell you the same. They will say they would rather have the Chiefs lose. So, you know, and mess up whatever playoff, bracket that they can get. So, I mean, what's it really going to do? You know, we still get a first round pick, you know, so maybe it's, you know, 16 instead of 15. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
that's the way I look at
it. Hey, the Chiefs are trying to give the Raiders a Christmas present now. Come on, Kevin.
You know, to me, it's more about what I would like to see. I'd love to see the Raiders win one more game. You know, they've already exceeded expectations. They've won two more games than they did last year. I hope they can do well, and try to figure out how to play in the second half. Just work on some stuff, because people are playing for their jobs right now.
I have the answer to that. It's called give the ball to Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. Yeah, that kid has been, you know, the standalone. Him and Max Crosby are the two standouts for me. And that kid is tough. There. That kid is tough, man. He is playing so well and playing hard and not giving up. So I got to give it to him for that.
Yeah, you got to put Waller up there for you guys, too.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, with that, as I look down on the calendar and realize this is our Christmas edition of The End Zone, because the next one you get will probably be after Christmas Day. So for everybody listening out there, thank you so much for joining us this year. And we hope that unless you're Bears fans or Chargers fans this week, you find a way to find the end zone in your Christmas stocking. So, Kevin, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Find your way into the end zone.